This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Well, they're doing it to me again. As I explained last week, I was never a conspiracy theorist. I didn't like conspiracy theorists. I was repulsed by the people who said 9/11 was an inside job. I believe Rosie O'Donnell said fire can't melt steel. George Bush took the towers down. And when Alex Jones said Sandy Hook, those kids who were shot and killed were actors. Or when the people who said the marathon bombing here in Boston was a false flag operation. I hate those people. But they're doing it to me. I can't help it. They're turning me into a conspiracy theorist. It's not my fault. I made the deep dive into the Epstein murder last week. And I know Ironhead and others were scolding me saying it's about time you came around on this. But Epstein was murdered. He did not kill himself. We have yet to hear of one person on the list. They're all suspects, by the way, but we have yet to get the list of men to whom Ghislaine Maxwell trafficked young girls. Hopefully someday we'll get that list, and hopefully there'll be many late night comics on it. We can hope. But I'm telling you, as New York City braces for violent protests, for an arrest that Trump said was going to happen today, it's not. I can't help but think there's so much more to this story. This is from from the Daily Mail this morning. It says it's all hands on deck for the New York Police Department, as all officers on Tuesday are expected to be in uniform, ready for anything in the wake of a potential indictment coming down against Trump. Officials in New York and D.C. are preparing for unrest and demonstrations after the former president told his supporters to protest, protest, protest. Now, we saw the barricades going up. We saw lots of cops. We saw some comical, laughable protests, which were not real. We'll get to that. People allegedly supporting Donald Trump wearing masks outside, so you know they're not real Trump supporters. It is a joke. They are hoping, praying for violence. And I think Donald Trump is hoping, praying for an indictment for a couple reasons. We've already seen a bump in I just saw a poll this morning. He got a big bump. His numbers are going up, and Ron DeSantis, his numbers are going down. So if Trump isn't getting arrested today and there is no indictment today, they're not even done listening to witnesses, this grand jury. Well, why would you announce that you're getting arrested? Well, Donald Trump is running for president. He's running for the GOP nomination again. And there's one man who is a threat to him, and that would be Ron DeSantis. And what he did yesterday, essentially, was put DeSantis on the spot. DeSantis did a great job talking about this. Didn't matter. It wasn't enough. It's never enough for Donald Trump. So this alleged indictment serves the purposes of two groups, Trump supporters and Trump haters. They're both relishing this, hoping for the worst or the best, or hoping for mass demonstrations. Trump's not worried about this arrest because it is so flimsy. Nobody thinks they have a case. Nobody thinks they're going to convict him. They will arrest him probably next week, week after. I'm not sure. But Trump is going to milk the hell out of this. They have two witnesses. They could be the two worst witnesses in the history of U.S. jurisprudence, particularly Michael Cohen, but also Stormy Daniels. And even if Trump did what they allege he did, and I think he did, paid her hush money, that's not illegal. That was a misdemeanor till like 3 days ago when Alvin Bragg, this Soros-controlled DA in New York, decided he could make it a felony. So there's no case, but it doesn't matter. It's all anyone's talking about. It's all Trump supporters are talking about. They're going to rally around their guy. It's all Trump haters are talking about. I think Trump knows there's one man standing in his way to his return to the White House, and it's not Joe Biden. It's not Kamala Harris or Pete Buttigieg or Gavin Newsom. He knows it's all about the GOP nomination. And for that, he's got to rally his people and he's got to damage Ron DeSantis. And what do you know? This potential indictment, potential arrest seems to be doing both things. It's energizing his base. It's firing up his supporters on social media, in the conservative media, in the political circles. His base is all fired up about this ridiculous indictment. And the people who just hate his guts don't care. They want to see him arrested. They don't, they're not even considering whether it's there'll be a potential conviction. They know even in New York City, it's going to be tough, but they don't care. They want to get him. So this placates two big groups that are in Trump's orbit, and it gives him a chance to attack, all out attack his real opponent, DeSantis. And what we saw yesterday was disgusting. It was, I'm just going to say it, I'm more supportive of DeSantis than ever. I'm more disappointed in Trump than ever. That to recap, you know, Trump said he was going to get arrested today. He's not, even though the New York City police are on high alert, setting up barricades. You know, I watched the, we're going to get to the White House press conference with the cast of Ted Lasso, which stinks, by the way. My wife's going to be very disappointed. She loves Ted Lasso. I guess it's a good show for girls, but I tried to get into it. I did my best. It's a bore. It is. It's not funny. I feel better about my opinion of it now that I know everyone at the White House loves it. Karine Jean-Pierre and Jill Biden, they're big fans of Ted Lasso. But and we'll get to that. The visual of the U.S. president hosting the cast of some obscure cable show while Xi Jinping and Putin meet in Moscow to plan the New World Order. If that doesn't tell you all you need to know about the disaster that is the Biden administration, I don't know what will. We're going to get to Ted Lasso and Karine Jean-Pierre and the racists in the White House press corps. That was a wild scene yesterday, and we got all of it. But I want to start with the potential or the non-existent Trump indictment and DeSantis' reaction. It's a joke. The whole thing is a joke. The people who are pressuring Alvin Bragg know he has no case, but don't care. They want the perp walk. They want the handcuffs. They want the fingerprints. Even if they don't get a get him frog marched in leg irons into the jail, even if they don't get that, they will get Trump arrested, booked. They will get a mugshot. They will get a trial. He will get acquitted, but they don't care. They can nick him up. If they can embarrass him in any way, they're all in. And I think Trump has come to peace with it and said, let's make the most of it. They're coming to get me. They're not after me. They're after you. I'm just standing in the way. The whole thing just fits too neatly into the agenda for everybody involved here, except Ron DeSantis, of course. But if you weren't paying attention, as people were bracing for this arrest, as the protests were beginning in New York, as the barricades were being set up, DeSantis had a press conference about stopping the digital dollar in Florida. Another great move by a governor who doesn't sit still, just keeps getting things done in Florida, making it the best state in the country, the best governor, the best chief executive in the country, an absolutely great candidate for president. But Trump knows it. He's standing in the way. So DeSantis does the press conference. He's asked about it. I think he gives a great answer, takes a little shot at Trump. It's kind of snarky, talks about paying off a porn star. By the way, can I regress for a moment here? Maybe you can help me out, Ironhead. What constitutes a porn star? A porn star. Now, I'm not the biggest aficionado of porn in the world. I mean, I'm not, not, I don't want it outlawed. I'm not against it. for adults. I don't think kids should have access to it, but anyway, we'll do that another day. But everybody refers to her as a porn star. Now, again, I'm not up on all my the rankings of the various actresses in porn, but is she really a star? I don't think I've ever seen. In fact, I know I haven't, at least not since she became famous. I try to keep up on the news. I follow Brandy Love, of course, on Twitter. Is she really a star, Stormy Daniels? Have you seen her in any of her any of her movies?
Not to my knowledge, but I would classify her as a porn star. I knew the name, but especially now, she's probably one of the most searched people, I'd guess, because of all this stuff.
I've never seen her perform. She's getting a little old, but so is Brandy, and Brandy's still a star. I know she was stripping at various, you know, seedy nightclubs when she first hit the scene with Michael Avenatti. That's when Tucker reamed out Avenatti. They had a great battle on the show because Avenatti was cashing in, and she was performing at seedy nightclubs in Richmond, Virginia. So she can't be that big a star, but I guess it's just a term, porn star. I would say porn actress, yeah. not necessarily porn star. I mean, I think Trump's side of this, that he didn't have an affair with her, is ludicrous, and everybody knows it. Nobody believes that he's telling the truth when he said he didn't have an affair, didn't have a relationship with her. But so what? We you know, nobody elected Trump, you know, to be our moral leader. We elected him to get things done, to disrupt things in D.C., and he did. He did for 4 years. He wants to do it for another four. I think he's willing to deal with the fallout when people find out he did. Well, people already know he had an affair with her, but he knows she's a terrible witness, and he knows Michael Cohen's a worse witness, and I'm going to guess his lawyers are telling him they will win this if it ever does go to trial, even with a New York City juror. But the big deal, the big story, at least politically, is how would Ron DeSantis react? Vivek Ramaswamy called out DeSantis and Nikki Haley, called them donors, said their donors don't want them jumping in on this with both feet defending Trump. And where are they? Ramaswamy was saying over the weekend. And I just find this so rich that Trump supporters are calling out DeSantis for not going strongly enough yesterday, not being vehement enough in his support of Trump. I think he was pretty strong supporting Trump, but he also took a shot at him. The idea that if roles were reversed, that Trump wouldn't be relishing this, wouldn't be dumping all over Ron DeSanctimonious. Trump, I'd be shocked if he even supported him at all if the roles were reversed. He would be sitting there and loving this and enjoying this and watching DeSantis struggle if the roles were reversed. That's why I give DeSantis credit. He came in, he supported Trump, took a little shot at him, said he's got more important things to do. And then everybody, if you're not following everybody in the right-wing Twitter and all the Trumpkins, just attacked him. Some of them were saying it's disqualifying. They want it to be. They want this to be the moment where Trump separates himself from DeSantis. It is not. It is not, because Trump reacted, childish as ever, threatening to leak things, personal things about DeSantis. That's how Trump reacts to this. He blames DeSantis for, I don't know what was he supposed to say. I will never let New York, the state of New York, extradite one of my citizens, which would be absurd. He can't do that. It's not a thing. But I think DeSantis handled it beautifully. And I think the Trump supporters embarrassed themselves. And I think, honestly, not one of them could say their guy, Donald Trump, would have handled this with, would have taken the high road, would have handled this with any modicum of class. He would be, he's killing DeSantis already. And he's got nothing. I mean, they got nothing on DeSantis. They're going to use this. They're going to use the fact that he wasn't quite strong enough in his support of Trump to go after him when Trump is acting as usual like a child on Truth Social. We can get to that. His attack on DeSantis, by the way, using left-wing hit pieces to attack DeSantis is just beneath even Trump. It's beneath him. But the idea that DeSantis did anything wrong is absurd. Let's listen as DeSantis was asked about this yesterday morning. Go ahead.
In terms of we are not involved in this, won't be involved in this. I have no interest in getting involved in some type of manufactured circus by some Soros DA. Okay. He's trying to do a political spectacle. He's trying to virtue signal for his base. I've got real issues I got to deal with here in the state of Florida. We're obviously shutting down CBDC, which is important. We've got so many things pending in front of the legislature. I've got to spend my time on issues that actually matter to people. I can't spend my time worrying about things of that nature. So we're not going to be involved in it in any way. I'm fighting for Floridians, and I'm fighting back against Biden. That's what I do every single day.
Get the line about the hush money to porn stars, because this was good. He said it. There was a little hush, a little chuckle among the media, because obviously it was planned. It was, I thought it was just snarky enough. And I thought this is exactly what Trump would do. Trump wouldn't do all that other stuff, calling it a joke and a sham and a, you know, fabricated charge by a political DA. Trump wouldn't do that, but he would do the I don't know anything about paying hush money to a porn star, which was perfect. That's what DeSantis should do. That's what he has to do. We have to know that DeSantis is ready to fight dirty. That's what Trump does. But get that cut, and then I'll give you we'll get Trump's reaction on Truth Social, because here's what Trump could have done. You know, let his people, you know, his acolytes attack DeSantis and not take the high road, but let them do it for him. Instead, he comes out with the attack, threatening to leak dirt on DeSantis. I can't believe anybody in Trump's orbit is encouraging him to get into a moral battle, a battle about personal lives, looking into the personal lives of each other. You want to do that, Donald? Really? With Ron DeSantis, you, who's paying hush money to a stripper, who's had three wives and who's had all kinds of affairs? Again, we knew that's what he was, and we accepted it. We knew when he was, you know, waving the Bible and you know, praying. By the way, Roger Stone said yesterday that he got on a phone call with Trump and they prayed together. I don't know why they have to pretend. It's like with Clinton. It's like with most presidents. It's just all pretend. Trump doesn't sit and pray with Roger Stone. But would you have mentioning the porn stuff, the hush money?
Yeah, it's a little longer clip, but this is it.
From the Florida Standard, we wanted to know what your thoughts are on the rumored Trump indictment, and if you have any role in it. If charges are brought on him, will you have any role in extradition to New York?
So I've seen rumors swirl. I have not seen any facts yet, and so I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. The Manhattan district attorney is a Soros-funded prosecutor. And so he, like other Soros-funded prosecutors, they weaponize their office to impose a political agenda on society at the expense of the rule of law and public safety. He has downgraded over 50% of the felonies to misdemeanors. Fact. He says he doesn't want to even have jail time for the vast, vast majority of crimes. And what we've seen in Manhattan is we've seen the crime rate go up, and we've seen citizens become less safe. And so you're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction.
That's funny.
That is just the way he should have handled it. I liked it. It was a little combative, a little sarcastic, and got the, you know, the whole thing out there, and then said he's the only governor in the country who's fired Soros prosecutors. He fired a Soros prosecutor. Now that they should all be doing that. At least all the Republican governors should be doing that. He's making it clear he does things. He doesn't say things, tweet things, doesn't post on Truth Social and talk about horse face. He does things. He fires these demons, these fiends in the DA's office. There's 75 of them around the country that Soros backed financially, got them elected. He got this guy elected for the sole purpose of undermining our system, undermining this country. He does indeed. He has indeed lowered more than 50% of the felonies to misdemeanors. If you're paying attention, there are so many cases of guys, you know, getting the guy who chopped up the McDonald's with the axe was bailed out like 2 hours later doing interviews on the sidewalk with the media. The guy, the bodega owner who got robbed and in self-defense stabbed the thug in the neck. Alvin Bragg had him arrested. He spent the night in prison for protecting himself. That's what's going on in New York. And while that's going on, he's prepared to indict the former president for strictly political reasons. It is absolutely banana republic stuff. It's stuff that happens in third world nations, not here. And the problem I'm having is, I think Trump is using this and using it to go after, to get himself a bump in the polls and go after his chief rival, hell, his only real rival. Here's what Trump did on Truth Social. I don't know, did he do an audio version of this too? Because the post is amazing. First of all, he posts this and then deletes it. And then a little while later, posts it again. So he writes, Ron DeSanctimonious will probably find out about false accusations and fake stories sometime in the future as he gets older, wiser, and better known when he's unfairly and illegally attacked by a woman, even classmates that are, quote, underage or possibly a man. I'm sure he'll want to fight these misfits like I do. And he links to this account, Midas Touch. Midas Touch is a left-wing hit group that goes after all Republicans. It's a bunch of far left people who have a website and a Twitter account. He links to the Midas Touch posting a picture of DeSantis when he was a young teacher right out of college, hanging with some college age girls with possibly a beer in his hand. Even left wing fact checking outfits can't confirm this was Ron with underage girls. They all graduated from high school, which means they're adults. And even if they're not, that's the best you got, Donald. He's at a party and takes a picture. Do you have any of the girls saying he paid them hush money, had an affair with them? No, you don't. He is genuinely threatened to go to this, sink to this level, to have a battle, a fight over who has a messier personal life. Trump is actually going to go there, which to me is no surprise. He's obsessed with DeSantis because he knows, again, he's standing in his way. But the people who supported him, it's just disgusting, acting like DeSantis took this too lightly, that DeSantis didn't, you know, back Trump up, you know, passionately enough. It's absurd. He just explained it's a joke, it's political, and he would fire the Soros-backed DA if he were there, if he were in New York. That to me was just what I wanted to hear. And I liked that he had a little fight in him. This is okay. Calling him a pedophile and saying he's got affairs with women, maybe men, that's okay. But saying, you know, Trump's paying hush money, this was pretty good. This is Tommy Lauren. I'm with her. She says, I'm a Trump supporter and always have been, but these nonsensical cheap shots at Ron DeSantis are a big turnoff, and I'm far from the only diehard Trump supporter that feels that way. You are absolutely right, Tommy Lauren. I feel the same way. I think a lot of people do, but the people who support Trump are like him. They're just, they're obsessed. They're determined to bring down DeSantis, and they're using this, pretending this was inadequate or this was just not enough from the Florida governor. It's ridiculous. And it made me support DeSantis even more. And it made me dread the thought, again, if Trump's the nominee, I'm all in. Of course, any decent American is going to support Trump over Biden or, you know, whoever, Kamala, whoever might be the Democrat nominee. We need Trump or DeSantis to repair some of the damage that Biden has done. which, you know, we can get to it. We can get to it as Xi and Putin are downing, you know, vodka shots right now, toasting the new world order. Our buffoon of a president is talking about how he's a Persian culture expert. But I can't believe people expected more from DeSantis after Trump has spent, let's see, November 8th. He took shots at DeSantis on election night when DeSantis was the one great hope. He was the big star of election night. He won in a landslide. He completely converted his state from purple to red, and other Republicans around the country were going down in flames, including Trump. Trump handpicked candidates, Don Bolduc and Dr. Oz. These people were going down in flames. Trump cost Republicans the Senate by supporting people like Dr. Oz because he's famous and he's rich, and people who supported him. So he supported, and the Republicans did not take the Senate. On that day, DeSantis won in a landslide, and on that night, Trump started taking shots at him and calling him Ron DeSanctimonious. He's been taking shots at him ever since. For the most part, DeSantis has taken the high road, and for the most part, he did again yesterday. The idea that he should have been just throwing himself, you know, in front of the bullets to protect Trump is absurd. Trump would never, ever do that for him. But I thought he handled it great. I'm looking forward to the fight. So is Trump, unfortunately. But I'm with Tommy Lauren. Why do you have to do all these cheap shots now? He hasn't even declared yet.
Exactly right. I'm like, save it for when he announces, at least.
You got a year. I mean, you got debates. You have rallies. You have plenty of time. You have one guy to focus on. And you need to start all this snarky, childish, sophomoric stuff now. It's embarrassing. And unfortunately, it's going to get worse because he hasn't been arrested yet. I wonder if he ever really thought he was going to be arrested today, or if he was just using it, running with it. He's hoping, you know, there'll be a big turnout. He's telling people to protest, protest, protest. Anybody who does what they did on January 6th, like comes in, you know, looking for a fight, is insane. Again, Trump would never do that for you. He just wouldn't. And Trump has done very little for the January 6ers. As we mentioned yesterday, he made this song with the Pledge of Allegiance. That's good. That's nice. Didn't cost him anything. He hasn't raised a lot of money for them. He hasn't visited them. Those are people who laid it all on the line for him on January 6th. Does he do as much as, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene for these people? No, he doesn't. And he doesn't care if they get arrested again. If they go into New York and they get arrested and the far left DA throws the book at them, Trump doesn't care. He doesn't care. He doesn't. I mean, if anyone who does that is stupid, anyone who is stupid enough to do that I don't care. They deserve to go to jail. If you're dumb enough to really genuinely cause trouble in New York on behalf of Donald Trump, you deserve to go to jail. The people on January 6th, they didn't know what was going to happen. You know, they'd watched Black Lives Matter and Antifa just destroy cities for 8 months, and they didn't think, you know, the law actually applied anymore. They thought you could hit cops and break things and you'd be out the next day because that's the way it had worked for 8 months around the country. But they found out just how vindictive and cruel the Biden DOJ is, and many of them will be sitting in jail for years to come. And Trump won't know their names. He won't reach out to them. He won't raise money for them. He's moved on, and he's hoping that people show up to protest. They won't, at least not in big numbers. Unless you're a total moron, you won't take that chance. I laughed out loud at this yesterday. If you had any doubt that there will be false flag operations for Democrats and liberals who hate Trump and want to stir it up and want you to think there's going to be trouble, check out. Do you have this video of this protest? This is hilarious. In front of Trump Tower yesterday, these are alleged Trump supporters. And as I tweeted, man, girls, you got to put a little effort into this. This is the lamest fake protest you'll ever see. First of all, they got a couple of signs. One says Trump won. And I think one of them has a Trump hat on, don't they? And they're look like, you know, middle-aged women from Manhattan. They're wearing masks. You tell me, is there a single Trump supporter in the country who's still wearing a mask outside? Yeah, you got a couple of red hats. They made a couple little signs and a couple of red hats, and they're hoping, you know, people will rally around them. Maybe the crowd will form, and it's just so lame.
He is big into the vaccine and stuff like that, so maybe, who knows?
That's true. That's going to be an issue on the trail. Another losing issue for Trump, winning issue for DeSantis, in my opinion. But this is the best they got. The New York City Police Department setting up barricades, canceling days off, telling everyone to show up in uniform today for this. I'm telling you, girls, you got to do better. You got to do better. When he finally gets indicted, there will be a protest, and I think people will go there. There'll be some signs. There'll be some support. But nobody is going to assault a cop or break a window or get in a fight. They're not going to take that chance. New York, it'll be just like D.C. They are itching to lock these people up. But even the most diehard Trump supporters, not crazy enough to get himself arrested for this man. That's just not going to happen again. But Trump will continue posting on Truth Social. By the way, hasn't come back to Twitter yet. One of these moments, there's going to be a big moment. It's coming where he returns to Twitter. And as I've said many times, it will be embarrassing. He'll be tweeting about DeSantis at a party with college girls when he was 23 years old. You think a lot of guys, hell, you think a lot of people are going to support Trump over DeSantis because DeSantis went to a party with college age girls when he was 23? Oh, that's a game changer. Let's support Trump, this moral man, you know, who's going to take the moral high ground from Ron DeSantis. Sure, Donald, you run with that. Good try. See, I again will support Trump, but if it is Trump, it's all about revenge. He said it. I am your retribution against the lawless Biden regime. That's fine. I like revenge. I like retribution. But he'll be so obsessed with it. It'll be about him, what they did to him, and him, he getting them back. That will be the whole platform. That will be the agenda. And it will get tedious. DeSantis, on the contrary, is making it clear that he's going to govern. He's an executive. He's going to get things done. He's going to get laws passed. He's going to change. He's going to repair the damage Biden did. I still like my guy's chances, even though Trump is getting a big bump in the polls already. All right, let's get to, I want to do the Cohen thing and the Stormy thing, and then we're going to get to the chaos at the White House briefing room. And Dr. Fauci goes door to door. I cannot believe they even allowed this video to see the light of day, but goes door to door to encourage people to get the vaccine. And he just gets taken to school by some guy. I don't know the guy's name, but I'm ready to vote for him. I want to vote for him for something. Maybe he could be DeSantis's running mate. You know, that he's a resident of D.C., so I don't think got much of a chance of winning in D.C., but this guy is great. We'll get to that and lots more, but first, I absolutely love this time of year. The madness is upon us. College basketball is king in March. Time for buzzer-beating shots, Cinderella stories, and rivalries with great histories. Make your March a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit mybookie.website/Jerry and use promo code Jerry to receive a deposit bonus of up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at big money. If you're the type of person who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at a life-changing amount of money. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and win like MyBookie. Remember, visit MyBookie online at mybookie.website/Jerry and use promo code Jerry GERRY, to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. All right, I got to pick up the pace here. The reason Trump is not worried about New York is there are two witnesses. Bragg has two witnesses, key witnesses, and they are just the worst witnesses you're ever going to find. Stormy's bad. Stormy, who's now, what does she describe herself now as, Ironhead?
A paranormal investigator and a medium.
A medium. So she's looking into the future. Stormy Daniels.
She's talking to the dead.
Who got her money. And by the way, this is something that I think, you know, fair-minded people, she had an affair. She got the money. She got the $130,000 and she still talked. So she's the one breaking the deal. You know, she's the one that wants to break the deal. And as much as you find that, you know, sordid on Trump's part, but you know, the deal's a deal. So that's not a good witness. Cohen is much, much worse. His former lawyer who did 3 years in prison for lying about this and many other things. He was grabbing money. I mean, the case against Cohen was not just him, you know, paying hush money for Trump. He made millions and didn't pay taxes. According to the, federal indictment, he made $4 million and didn't pay taxes on it. He owed $1.4 million. He lied under oath. He committed a number of crimes and did time and was determined to never do time again. He has he had a lawyer. His name is Bob Costello. This is Stormy.
Yeah, this is from a while ago.
She says, I never said it was an affair. I have said over and over again that he cornered me coming out of a bathroom. Well, I guess to him, that is an affair. Seems to be his pattern. So he cornered her and she...
Allegedly. You
know, allegedly wanted to go public. He gave her $130,000 and she still went public. But Cohen is another story. This guy, I didn't even know this. Last night is former attorney Bob Costello. Because Cohen waived attorney-client privilege, Costello went to the grand jury, went to the DA, went to Trump's team, went to everybody to tell them the truth about Cohen. And it is devastating. This guy is a high-powered New York lawyer, had represented him, no longer represents him. But he tells a story about Cohen in a suicidal state, was up on the roof of the Regency Hotel, threatening to kill himself and vowing to never, ever go to prison, saying he will lie. He will do whatever it takes to stay out of prison. I don't know. I've watched, you know, a few episodes of Law and Order. I'm no lawyer, but I think this would be the definition of a really bad witness, somebody who was threatening to kill himself and would vowing to do anything to avoid going to jail. That's your guy, Alvin Bragg? That's your witness? Let's listen to Costello. This was an amazing interview. He went on with Tucker and he just talked for like 6-7 minutes nonstop. And one revelation was more damaging than the last. It was this one anecdote after another about what a bad witness Michael Cohen is. Let's listen to a little bit of it. This is Costello.
I contacted Manhattan DA.
Cohen's former lawyer with Tucker. Go ahead.
Meet with Alvin Bragg because I wanted to present this to Alvin Bragg as I had presented it to the Southern District. I wanted him to look me in the eye and assess my credibility. Did I have more credibility than Michael Cohen, because Michael Cohen, in my opinion, was lying about just about everything. I specifically told them that there were two main points that I wanted to make clear, that Cohen had told us that when we first met him, that he was suicidal. Why is that important? Because when you're suicidal, thinking that that's the only way out of your legal mess, and you're presented with the following options, that you can cooperate against Donald Trump and provide information that would get you a get-out-of-jail-free card, and you respond to us, I do not have any information on Donald Trump. And he said it many times during that two-hour meeting. I swear to God, Bob, I don't have anything on Donald Trump. And I had my law partner, who knew Michael Cohen for 10 years on Columbia Grammar and Prep School here in Manhattan because Cohn was on the board of directors.
Yeah.
And when I heard him say that he was suicidal the weekend before standing on the roof of the Regency Hotel, I didn't know whether he was a drama queen or telling the truth. So I looked at my partner and he shook his head and nodded, I think he's telling the truth. And later on, we got that corroborated by the Reverend Jerry Falwell and his wife, who had dinner with Michael Cohn, who told him the same thing. Why is that important? Because when you're willing to give up your life in order to avoid these legal troubles, when they're insurmountable to you, and you're offered a way out, so all you have to do is cooperate on Donald Trump. Do you have anything on Donald Trump? And he says no repeatedly. I swear to God, Bob, I don't have anything. Then you know that you've got a guy who probably doesn't have anything. It's certainly easier to give up information on Donald Trump than it is to kill yourself. On top of that, while he's making these speeches,
that is the star witness, the key witness, but Alvin Bragg doesn't care. I don't think he cares at this point about a conviction. He will be a hero to the Trump-hating left just if he gets an arrest, an indictment. And again, I have a feeling Trump is not really upset about the impending arrest. He knows he's not going to get convicted. He knows he'll be martyred. He knows his supporters will rally around him. He knows this will be a bump in the polls, and that's all that matters to Donald Trump. But I don't think I've ever heard a worse witness in my life. The idea, yeah, I'm going to kill myself. I'm not going to go back to jail. I'll do whatever it takes. And that includes telling whatever lie Alvin Bragg wants him to tell. Great, great witness you got there, Mr. DA. Great job. All right, let's get to the chaos at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. This is glorious. And I know we say it a lot. We say it a lot. If can you imagine, just imagine if this were Trump, if this were a Trump spokesman, if this were Sarah Sanders, or if this were Sean Spicer, and they're talking, they're hosting actors from some obscure TV show on a day, you know, where Xi and Putin are meeting in Moscow, and you know, North Korea is threatening to shoot off nukes, and the war is raging in Ukraine, and the southern border is open, and crime in the streets, and you name it. And they're giggling with this cast of Ted Lasso and talking about how important mental health is. It's great. Mental health is very important. But the look, the visual of this is just embarrassing. But if you missed it, there's a African TV reporter, Simon Ateba. And he's been in the White House press corps for a while now. And he never, ever gets called on. Karine Jean-Pierre just hates him for some reason, doesn't want to let him ask a question. And Simon was fed up. I think he was banished from the room for a while. He's back in the room, sitting in the back, and he hasn't been able to ask a question for 7 months. He's been on TV. I saw him on Newsmax last night talking about this. He disrupted this silly event, which was great. I like that. Demanding, you know, he gets his First Amendment rights. He gets freedom of the press here. He gets to participate in the process. And of course, Karine Jean-Pierre, she's too dumb to even know that this is wrong. She just doesn't like the guy. And but the media, the hacks in the establishment media, they turn on Simon. And check this out. One of the these white guys, reporter, this absolute creep, named Brian Kareem, who used to work for Playboy. I don't even know. They call him a White House correspondent, but nobody even knows who he works for. He's just one of those people who shows up and asks questions so he can get himself on TV. And he's a hardcore Biden supporter, hated Trump. We'll get to that. And he says, mind your manners to the black African reporter who had the audacity to try to ask a question at a White House press briefing. Let's watch as the chaos unfolded. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. You're right. You're here for me. No. That's not. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
From across the room.
You've been discriminating against me and discriminating against some people in the briefing room. And I'm saying that this is the U.S., this is not China, this is not Russia. This is not Russia.
Okay.
What you are doing, you are making a mockery of the First Amendment. It's been 7 months. You've not called on me. You know my messages. I'm saying that that's not right. That's not right.
One time's welcome, guys. Welcome. Welcome to the press briefing room. Okay.
But this is not right.
Sir, let it go.
Are you ready? Are we going to behave? While many folks...
Decorum, please. Simon.
Decorum, please. Well, they all start yelling at Simon because he did, you know, disrupt this very important appearance with Jason Sudeikis and a bunch of other actors from a Apple TV show. But afterwards, she comes out, the cast leaves, she comes back out, just starts reaming out Simon. Is saying you're not going to do that. And then, I don't know if you have this, AP Zeke Miller. This is, again, alleged reporter. They're not real reporters. They're Democrat stenographers. They're there to serve the interests of the White House, of the president. Just the opposite of what they did, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when they were there to confront Trump and any of Trump's spokespeople or surrogates. But do you have this Zeke Miller apologizing to America? This is a AP, an alleged reporter for AP. Again, just a hack, a Biden-supporting hack. But it's a short one where Corinne Jean-Pierre, by the way, did she get the memo that a little late on St. Patrick's Day? She has a St. Patrick's Day outfit on and a couple of days late. But can you play this? Zeke Miller, AP reporter apologizing to the country?
Yeah, 1 second. I didn't hear it in that clip, by the way, when he was, I know he said it, I've heard it. I don't know which clip it was when he was like, mind your manners.
Mind your manners, this old white hack who no one even knows who he works for, telling the black African guy to mind your manners. We'll get to the manners from this guy. But do you have this cut from the AP guy apologizing to the world?
Yeah, right here.
Thanks, Green. It's first a quick moment of personal privilege here. I just want to express our apologies to the press corps, to the folks watching at home for the display you saw earlier. Our responsibility is to them. We're here to ask questions on their behalf to hold their government accountable because they can't all be here. This isn't about us. So with that, for you, there's some calls over the weekend, last couple of days from...
What a friggin' clown. Mm-hmm. We're here to serve them. That's what he's doing. Simon's doing that for, you know, millions of people in Africa. As he pointed out in his many press appearances, he never gets a chance to ask a question, even when, you know, Kamala Harris and Jill Biden went to Africa, even when Biden hosted African leaders, they still don't let this guy ask a question. They're racist. Corinne Jean-Pierre's a racist. She won't let the black guy from Africa ask a question. And the AP guy says, oh, we're just here to serve our readers. I want to apologize to everyone for that, saying it was a violation of decorum. All right, the guy who was shouting down Simon, again, this clown, Brian Kareem, he really cares about decorum. Can we go back, I don't know, 2 years, a little more than 2 years and 3 years, and listen to this guy who would attack daily, and from the back of the room, by the way, because he's really not a reporter. He's just a hack, and no one even knows who he's working for, attacking Sarah Sanders. And the question was about kids in cages. Favorite one, favorite canard from all these media people. The cages, which were built and began with Obama and have continued under Biden. Kids whose parents get arrested, they got nowhere to put them. They put them in these temporary shelters that have fences around them. They call them kids in cages. They love to beat Trump over the head with that, even though Obama did it, Biden did it, and they just keep bringing it up. And of course, Sarah Sanders just rolls her eyes and has no use for that. But let's listen to this guy who's insisting, the African guy, show a little decorum. Go ahead.
something about it. Jill.
Don't you have any empathy?
Jill, go ahead.
Come on, Sarah. You're a parent. Don't you have any empathy for what these people are going through? Jill, they have less than
Brian,
you do.
Guys,
Sarah, come on.
Settle down.
Seriously.
I'm trying to be serious, but I'm not going to have you yell out of turn. Jill, please call.
It's a law, and they have, these people have nothing.
I think the mind is manners.
I know you want to get some more TV time, but that's not what this is about. I want
to
recognize you. Go ahead, Jill.
Honestly, answer the question. It's a serious question. These people have nothing. They come to the border with nothing, and you throw children in cages. You're a parent. You're a parent of young children. Don't you have any empathy for what they go through?
Jill, go ahead.
Two questions for you. Firstly, does the president really believe that...
Good job by Sarah. Didn't indulge him, didn't take the bait and say, oh, I'm a parent, I feel awful. I mean, he's just a hack and it's so transparent. I mean, he knows Trump didn't build the cages. He knows Obama, I think he does. He's not a very bright guy, but he knows. He's just using it because that's his job. His job is to attack the Republican, attack Trump and defend Biden. That's what he does. Nobody's actually ever read a word he's written. No one even knows who he writes for. He's called a CNN contributor. So I looked it up. He was Brian Stelter's last guest on the failed show, Reliable Sources, that load Stelter had that nobody watched and they canceled it. He was, I think he was his first and last guest on that show. But that was priceless. All these frauds, Jeff Mason from Reuters, Zeke Miller, all of them attacking the black guy who had the audacity to try to ask a question. How dare he? He's not in the club.
Could you imagine, though, after that Sarah Huckabee Sanders clip, if like 10 minutes later, Peter Ducey was like, I just want to apologize to the American people.
That's not why we're here. Yeah, he was trying to ask a question. That is exactly why you're not there to promote a friggin' TV show, which again... You know, I should give a full review, but my wife loves it, so I said, I'll give it a shot. We needed a show. We finished with Your Honor, which is excellent on Showtime, but it's done. And not quite, it's not quite Ozark. Ozark it was awesome. It's done. And then Your Honor's done for now. So I tried Ted Lasso. I mean, I was falling asleep 10 minutes in. It's just, a lot of it is British people talking, you know, with their British accents. You can't even keep up. And the whole theme of it is just, it's just boring. It's just a boring show. But hey, the Biden White House loves it. They love Jason. And I will give Jason Sudeikis credit because as he was leaving the stage yesterday, he was asked if he was going to do a Biden impression. He says he couldn't because he didn't have the fake teeth. And somebody said, oh, you can't say that.
No.
He used to do Biden on Saturday Night Live, I believe, occasionally. But I guess he must have had fake teeth when he did it. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. All right, let's do Shay. And then we're going to get to my favorite story of the day, maybe week, is Dr. Fauci, the little evil elf here. He went out on a road trip and went door to door. This was a couple of years ago, but he went door to door to try to encourage DC residents, you know, African Americans who were reluctant to get the jab. It didn't go as the evil elf had hoped. Well, it's the dead of winter, but that doesn't slow down Shea Concrete. They got a huge selection of precast concrete steps ready to be installed at your home. If you're building a new home or remodeling or replacing an old staircase, Shea has great values with designs that will fit your home. A new staircase will dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home, giving you much better curb appeal. You'll be the talk of the town, the envy of the neighborhood. Shea will take care of all this. They remove the old stairs. You don't want to have to do that yourself. When they're done, you'll have a great looking new entrance that will add value to your home. It's not an expense. This is an investment in your home. With one phone call, Shea will deliver a turnkey installation experience. In a few hours, you get a brand new front entrance. Go to SheaConcrete.com to learn more. Also, you can go there and look for a job. Right now, Shea is hiring. They've got between 15 and 20 open positions. These are career opportunities for all different types of people with all different types of skill sets. All you got to do is pass a drug test. All right, I'm not sure how this video ever made it out in public. I'm not sure how Fauci didn't demand one of his underlings burn this. But I don't know, and I don't remember this, anything like this, Fauci actually leaving the green room at CNN for one afternoon. I mean, maybe he went out for an hour while he was between appearances. with Mariel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., this crazy radical mayor of D.C., and they go door to door because not enough black people were getting the vaccine. And I guess, you know, Fauci wanted to maximize his revenue. He just wasn't making enough this week. So he had to get out there and sell the vaccine to people who were hesitant. I guess maybe, maybe he got social media. Maybe someone released this and Fauci, made a call to Twitter and Facebook, said, take that down. And they did. So we hadn't seen it till now. But this is just great as he goes around and he does not like being told no. He's been a little tyrant for decades, been the boss at CDC or whatever in the White House. You know, he's running the frigging country under Trump and Biden. And he doesn't take, constructive criticism or backtalk well. But watch this beauty. This guy come out on the stoop and just put the evil elf in his place. Go ahead.
People in America are not settled with the information that's been given to us right now.
So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot on a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to create vaccinations.
Well, it used to take years.
Okay, it used to.
You know how many years were invested in this approach? About 20 years of science to get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allow thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this
Something
world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's much more serious than the flu. Though.
Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually, too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean,
Zero.
Not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all giving that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass.
Yeah, definitely.
Because when
you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
But I'm glad millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get in. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city. What? But I won't keep you anymore.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all, campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
Oh, that guy's great. I mean, he's a fairly young guy. Looks like he's in good shape. He knows he doesn't need the jab. But when he gets to, it's a campaign of fear, the little elf just turns and shuffles away. And he was seething. You know, he wanted to just hold that guy down, jab him, give him the jab in the arm, and cha-ching, cha-ching, make another few bucks for Pfizer. I looked. I haven't seen anybody, find him, identify him. But that guy's a hero right there, putting this little worm in his place. Great job, sir. And I love that when Fauci says, well, how many died of flu? Well, not this year, because there was nobody.
No one.
They said everybody who died of flu, they said it was COVID.
Right.
So they could jack up the numbers. Then he said, 600,000. I mean, and the guy was, they could have stood there for another 10 minutes and that guy would have had some, he knew it was a pandemic of the elderly, the obese, the vulnerable, and he knew he wasn't one of those classes, and he knew he was safe, and he knew he didn't need it, and he probably still hasn't got it. Good for that man. And still today, you'll see some tweet from Fauci or Fauci's crew saying, everyone needs to get back. You need to protect your neighbor, protect your family. We need to, he's just never going to stop selling. 82 years old, fabulously rich, and he just won't stop selling and lying. Look at that actual size.
I know.
Actual size.
Yeah, he said in that video that 9 months was enough time. It's a quick little snippet from when he was talking about vaccines back in the late 90s. And it's a short clip. I think it's worth playing. He has a different timetable on this one.
All right, good.
You take it, and then a year goes by, and everybody's fine. Okay, that's good. Now let's give it to 500 people, and then a year goes by, and everything's fine. Say, well, then now let's give it to thousands of people, and then you find out that it takes 12 years for all hell to break loose, and then what have you done? 12 years for all hell to break loose, and then what have you done?
He will go down in history as one of the great scoundrels of all time. I mean, it's coming. Hopefully, you know, this Congress, the GOP Congress, gets him under oath and he continues to lie under oath. And hopefully there'll be some criminal referrals for that man, because there sure should be. But it is nice to see nobody's listening to him anymore, except those Trump supporters outside Trump Tower with their masks on, which is just comical. Yeah, that's not even trying, girls. You got to put in more effort than that. We'll be watching to see today if they show up again today, even though and all the cops are getting overtime, barriers are set up, they're going to have their shields and their riot gear, and nobody's going to do anything about it. Nobody. But
I love that whole argument. I got vaccinated for you. Shut up.
For you. Yeah, I got vaccinated for you.
Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate you getting vaccinated for me.
I wasn't technically vaccinated. I got the Johnson & Johnson, which doesn't work, and I only got one, and that was a long time ago, and I did it so I could, you know, I could get on a plane and go visit my daughter and, you know, play golf. My wife told me, they're not going to let you play golf if you don't get vaccinated. I got it for all the right reasons. And it was crazy. I mean, you know, I admit I buckled under the pressure. I wanted to go to restaurants and concerts, and I did it, and I shouldn't have. It was stupid, but whatever. It's I survived. No ill, no side effects. At least I don't think so.
No myocarditis yet.
I got COVID. It was a cold. I was fine, but man, if I could do it over again, I would have resisted. But hats off to you, Ironhead, man. You're a man of principle, and you're still kicking.
For now.
But anyway, let's leave it there for today. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will do it again tomorrow.
Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not.
Who thinks it takes- Like the show? Leave a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify.
Hi, it's Tony Marino, host of the Newsmax Daily Podcast, your daily news bulletin of Newsmax's top headlines, along with commentary from our hosts and experts. You can learn more about all of the free podcasts, including Newsmax Daily, Rob Carson, and Jerry Callahan at newsmax.com/listen.